with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Please be seated. Utterance, that's saying words. That's something we do every day as we have from the beginning. Language, communication, which has always been embedded in all of creation. And yes, sometimes we're good at it, and sometimes we're not. Sometimes even when we speak the same language, we have a hard time understanding each other. The coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost cannot be understood without the backdrop of the tower incident in Genesis chapter 11, the Old Testament reading for today. Because there the people said, "Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the whole face of the earth." And the thing is, God had told them to be dispersed over the whole earth, throughout the world, not to all settle in one place. So what they first do is they first break God's command. But everyone is getting along, right? What's the big deal? It's a nice sunny day in Shinar. They are making bricks together. Now, that right there was a real engineering feat, too, because the way they made them with the bitumen, that was the first time that buildings were ever created that way. So this is they think this is a jollyful thing. And the building created that way would also make for a nice fortified city. So what's wrong with that? What's wrong with it is that they were making a name for who? For themselves. Though united, self-pride ultimately leads to rebellion. A tower up to God is where we want to be. But the thing about it is it's not the way God works. God comes down. His word comes down. And the triune nature of God comes down in the "let us go down." They're recorded in Genesis. So it is the Lord who takes control, and he does disperse them over the face of the earth, as was his will in the first place. Then he did it by confusing their language so that they may not understand one another's speech. So then they couldn't finish the building, right? They left the building of the city, and its name then was called Babel. Now, when we use words that go over people's head, or if we speak with unclear communication, or perhaps we are just saying what somebody doesn't want to hear, we are portrayed as what? Babbling. That's where we get the term babble from. Babbling, or gibberish. But let me ask you, does the Lord really want us to be confused? To speak in other tongues? No. But he knows what trying to make a name for ourselves leads to. It leads to being made self-gods, becoming self-gods. But babble, jibber-jabber, whatever you want to call it. As far as children go, children will do that as they're learning to speak. They have to learn to speak. But speak in tongues, they do and we do, but not just any tongue. The tongue is the language that you speak. So speaking in tongues is whatever family you were born into, whatever language you were born into, that's what you have to learn to speak. The language of your parent is tongues. And it's hard when you don't know what they want, what children want, right? When they can't speak yet, you can't understand them. The first language of communication that they learn, a baby learns, is what? Usually as they first come out of their mother's womb, the first language of communication is crying, right? Crying is a universal tongue. It denotes a need, a problem. And in infants, mostly regards to wanting to be fed, that they're tired, or they need to be changed out of a soiled diaper. But sometimes it helps as they begin to learn how to make motions with their hands when they can't speak, right? I remember teaching one of my own this sign language that a lot of people know and knew at the time, and it's the sign language for more, concerning when the child's eating in their high chair. Do you want some more? And this is the sign language for more. And yeah, my son would go, if he liked the Gerber food, you know, the peas or whatever we were feeding him. But that one seems to be an easy one for them to get. But ultimately, is that okay, parents? So you just want them to do like this their whole life? No, ultimately, you long for them to have first words. And what do we long for their first words to be? Namely, we want them to say first, Mama and Dada, right? Acknowledgement that they know who their parent is. And then, oh, what a joy that presents. But you see, it takes inspired speech. I am your mother. I am your father. You point to yourself, Dada. And then children who are made in the image of what God put together between husband and wife instinctively know whose they are. They just don't know how to say it yet. But to become a child of God, a Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you must be filled with the Holy Spirit. And it is the same Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead, that adopts us, the Spirit by whom we cry, Abba, Father. Means Daddy, Daddy God. So this is what the Lord coming down does. The Word who was made flesh, not to just give people things, but to give Himself. Now what the day of Pentecost really is a reversal, a direct reversal of the Tower of Babel. Whereas God confused their language, now He has made it one. And has gathered all men from every nation under heaven back to Him and His coming down. Now, by the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, everyone is communicating in the one language of the Father, as if each one was hearing it in their own native tongue. And then Peter then preached, inspired by the Holy Spirit. This inaugurated the beginning of the last of days. Starting with the Son of Man coming down, the one man, Jesus Christ, who came from the city in the top of the heavens, not to make a name for Himself, but to make a name for you, that you may all cry by the same Spirit whose you are. Cries from the heart, lamenting sin and imploring mercy. That is the day that your sons and daughters speak of. This is the preaching of Peter. The day that your sons and daughters speak of is the great day of the Lord. And he quotes the prophet Joel, that they see and they dream of this day, wonders in the heavens and signs on the earth below, starting with the darkness of the sun, just like on a particular day that we call Good Friday, the darkness of the sun, and then ending on the magnificent first day of the new week. Easter, new and everlasting life, clarity of language. So this speech is a message of divine origin. And what they were filled with and saying was speaking with authority. Not just ordinary small talk, but extraordinary measures and means. They were saying the mighty works of God and asking, how can this be? Some others mockingly said that they are filled with new wine. Well, perhaps there is some truth to that, but not in the way they intended it. For Peter addresses them, it is only the third hour of the day. And the third hour of the day is 9 a.m. in the morning. People usually don't drink at that time. But the Bible telling us it was the third day, highlight that. It's very important because it was on the third hour of the day when the crucifixion of Jesus happened. The darkness happened between the sixth and the ninth hour. And then because of those hours, we now have new wine, Christ's blood shed for you. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I believe in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. That is when the Lord comes down, not to confuse, but to make you understand. It is the great reversal from the city of man to the city of God. Now, there's a movie I've seen, and I will only rewatch more once, more than one time. I usually don't like to watch movies over and over, but I will this one, and it is because of this one precious moment in it I want to tell you about, and it's the movie called Patriot, if you've seen it, with Mel Gibson. It's a historical American Revolutionary War drama, and Gibson is a war vet widow, and he has 7 children. But he's opposed to going to war with Great Britain. But he is soon back in active duty, though, after they burn down his house. And in the film, his youngest of the 7 kids, his youngest daughter named Susan, wouldn't speak. She struggles with a speech impediment. And Benjamin Martin, who's played by Gibson, is emotional about her. He longs to hear her voice. So as he is about to go off to war, he leaves his children to the care of his sister-in-law. Then he says his goodbyes on a little beach, ready to ride off. But he first stoops down to Susan and says, "Goodbye, Susan." Then he goes like this. He waits for her to say goodbye back to him, maybe. He says it again, "Goodbye." But she doesn't talk. He says then, "Susan, just one word. One word is all I want." She remains silent. He goes to give her a hug, and she steps back. She doesn't want a hug, not to let him. So he gets up and says, "All right." He turns and he heads off. The camera pans to all their sad faces. He looks back on his horse for a second. And then after a couple more seconds, you see Susan's face. She takes one step forward, and tears start to emerge from her eyes. And then she speaks. She yells out, "Papa!" And he turns on his horse to make sure he heard what he was hearing. And Susan looks up again at him and speaks, "Papa, don't go. I'll say anything." And she runs to him as he gets off his horse. He runs to her. "Please, Papa, I'll say anything you want." She's crying. She says, "Tell me what you want to say, and I'll say anything." She continues, "I promise, Papa, please don't go." The father takes her head in his arms and says, "I promise I'll come back. I'll come back. You believe me?" And she nods her head yes, still with tears in her eyes. Now Benjamin Martin is crying, hugs her tight and says, "You know you make me very happy." And he departs with kisses. Papa, Abba, the one word the Father longs to hear from you. So he fills you with his Spirit. He rests on you. Jesus said, "I am going away, and I will come to you." And he was speaking of his death, burial, and resurrection. And these things the Holy Spirit will bring to your remembrance. Through the church, as he officially birthed it on the day of Pentecost, he fills the church with his Spirit. He gives signs under the forms of bread and wine and gives utterances. First, he comes down to speak, "Take and eat, take and drink. This is my body, this is my blood." He fills the house where you are sitting, and this is how he gathers and draws the nations. This, folks, is the native tongue of the church, that we may hear the mighty works of God, and so that you may be filled not only with new wine, but new life. Utterances, word and sacrament utterances, no longer confused. How is it that we hear? We hear because God gives his people his Spirit, the helper to teach. As children in the high chair wanting to be fed, and then speak and sign more, until finally they do speak, "Daddy, Abba." Now you may spread the word across the earth. The word Abba, the message of divine origin, utterances to rejoice in Jesus. So now nothing they will do will be impossible for them, Jesus says. Why? Because they know one another's speech. As the Lord now builds his city and strong tower, the church, not with brick or mortar, though, but with fire and with the Holy Spirit. How does that sound? Does that sound good? Because it has come to pass in the day of Pentecost, the birthday of the church, and now this day, June 8th, 2025, receive the Spirit, for this is a magnificent day. In the name of Jesus, amen.